Morning, Justin.
Morning, Mark. So you're back with another surprise.
Yeah, I like the surprise episodes. I know we kind of reciprocate on that blessing, if you will.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the process of having topics, you know, we have the list to go from, but I think sometimes it's nice just to be able to have the conversation.
Yes.
It's not like this is always scripted. I think so often our conversations with people are much like this. It's like we come on to a topic through discussion, and there's a part of us that's either excited or, you know, it's like, where is this going? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I appreciate about our relationship is the point where, we can have reciprocal surprises.
Although I'll say like it's similar to real conversations in that A, it's not scripted, but also B, sometimes we put our foot in our mouth.
Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. And we always, when we pull it out, we say, well, that's how I see it. So,
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But,
no, you're not.
Well, sometimes it is a matter of, actually, that is how I see it. Sometimes it's like, well, I don't think I see it that way even. It's a foot in mouth, truly a foot in mouth situation. But I think that is part of having healthy conversations. Is sometimes you put your foot in mouth, but kind of brings out a little bit of truth about what you feel about it. So, you know, in a safe conversation, a little foot in mouth, you know, isn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I'd agree. Yeah. I'd agree. I think it also gives us that opportunity to recognize sometimes we have to apologize.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to retract.
Yep.
Some statements, and you know, sometimes in a,
and if we're gonna talk about polarizing subjects with anybody, which is again kind of the bigger goal of this podcast, is to encourage these conversations so that we can get to know people who aren't like us, so that we can build, you know, kind of connections where there aren't any, that kind of thing. That's a big part of it.
Sure.
You know, is learning how to also apologize and say, you know, I don't mean to say it that way. Or I don't mean to, you know, step on toes. I don't actually like that term.
Yeah.
I don't mean to step on any toes. It's like, yes, you do.
And that's where I'm at. You know, it's like sometimes we do feel strongly about something.
Yeah.
And we may very well step on toes, but how do we do that in a gracious manner?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the discussion.
Yeah.
So that being said, if you had to think about three topics, let's say three topics, you know, kind of what topics can't we talk about? You know, you think about it from your childhood or from, you know, your relationship even with Megan. What three topics would be difficult to talk about?
Difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult or taboo or?
Could be both.
Difficult.
Yeah.
I think a sex conversation would be very difficult.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I'm very awkward with you, Mark.
Well, just so you know, that's not where we're headed this morning. So rest assured, now you come up with two and three.
What else we got? I don't know. I mean, we've joked about nothing's off limits a lot of times. So,
what about growing up?
Hmm.
We just did our politics one. That was just released. So Now people have a little indication of how much lag time there is between, but
but
politics could be one of those things.
Yeah.
We were told as kids, you know, you can't talk about politics at the
Dinner table.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving table.
Yep.
Yeah, but we just talked about I mean, that's kind of my point. Like,
right.
So you're just saying in general.
Yeah. In general.
Yeah, that's good. Politics, religion, but
okay.
We managed to hit that one quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I already know the answer, so I'm trying to guess ones that aren't that.
I understand. But
it is a surprise topic.
Well, it's not completely.
But you told me right before we hit record.
You asked.
I asked. It's my fault.
Yeah.
but I'm still going to act surprised. Okay. I don't know, Mark. Money?
Money!
Money!
Money, yes! Money. And I would... For me, it's this... I'm finding myself in this conflict between contentment and money. So it's not just money. But if I were to ask you, and here's kind of the...
Is this question, our chance we get to ask our listeners for money? I got a list of podcast things I need to buy.
And see, this this is where it's going to be a wrestling, you know?
Okay. Right.
But...
Well, while Mark wrestles, just send your checks to... No.
That checks. Being said... Okay, this is where
there's I'm like 12 listeners.
This is where I'm putting John. Yeah, that's true. Can I Venmo? That being said, would you say that you love money? That's where the surprise comes into play.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that. But, you know, because obviously you and I both know the verse.
Mm-hmm. Says, yeah,
the love of money is the root of all evil. So I guess I've always been like, you shouldn't.
Yes.
But I'm thinking about, do I?
Exactly.
And I think my cop-out answer is I love what money can bring me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that gets really close to the love of money then.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking about if a stack of cash was sitting there in front of us, would I be like... You know, little heartbeat pitter-patter. Maybe.
Let's put it this way. Depends
on how big that stack is.
Let's put it this way. If that stack of cash was there, okay, by no means would you say that's dangerous or that's, I don't want that.
Right. Correct. Certainly not.
Okay, even on a larger scale. Powerball was just up to...
Oh, yeah.
2 billion.
I didn't win, Mark.
You didn't win?
I didn't enter, but I also didn't win.
That's part of the slogan, isn't it? You have to enter to win or something
it
like
probably
that?
Probably is, yeah.
But...
Next time, I'm going to enter.
Even at that scale, would you want it?
You know, everyone says, yes, because I would do good things with it.
Yeah.
And I like to think that. I like to think that. Okay, so this is a good question, and it definitely ties into a lot of conversations about money that I've had in my life. And one of those things is that money is an amplifier, right? And so essentially, what you do without money. It will amplify that. So your character, your tendencies towards generosity, your tendencies towards miserliness, your tendency towards being disgruntled with service, like just whatever it is. Like money is not going to solve those things, and it will only amplify those things. And, you know, so I like to think that I've been practicing for this. You know, like, let's see how I do in the Olympics, because I feel like I've been working at it. Now, certainly not Olympic training, but, you know, if I just get dumped in the Olympics, I'll try, you know.
Sure.
Ultimate Frisbee Championships. Is that in the Olympics? Probably not. I'd be like, yeah, let me try. I'll probably be terrible, but maybe better than some if they were dumped in the same situation, right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as having, you would say yes to the $2 billion Powerball.
Yeah, why not?
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fun to. I also. Yeah. That, you know, it's more than, there's definitely more to that scenario than you're likely to think about. When asked that question or your name gets announced,
sure.
Right? Like, but for instance, relationships.
Yeah.
How many relationships would be able to be last through that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Family and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, yeah.
And if I may, realistically, the only thing that changed is the fact that one of the individuals in that relationship acquired more money.
Yes. You know what, though? Recently, I saw that a recent winner of a sweepstakes, I don't know if it was this one or a different one. It was in China or something.
Okay.
He wore a mask. So when he went to his acceptance thing, like, no one knew who he was. He was anonymous.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's genius. If I win the sweepstakes, that's what I'm doing.
I hear you.
I don't know if you get that option. It's like, do you want this $2 billion? Then you have to tell us your name. Dang it. You know, I don't know. You know, yeah. In terms of publicity, if they require you to not be anonymous. But if you let, there's an option. I thought that was brilliant.
No, I hear where you're coming from.
You know
from.
What I'm saying? Because then now there is nothing that's changed between us that you know of.
Right.
Right. And family knows of or whatever.
Yeah.
So now I just have to deal with my side, which something did change on my side. And that can, of course, impact me. But at least it's half so far.
But it's interesting that you bring up that point, because I worked with a fella. He'd say, you know, when, you know, people were in the building houses, you know, his phrase would be, you can't hide money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if you wore the mask.
Yeah.
There would be a change, likely a change in your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You might upgrade your car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying
that. So, yes, we would do that first because we have two 2004 vehicles and they are embarrassing to drive, but they are cheap.
Yes.
Paid for.
Yeah.
And they still work.
Exactly.
But yes, I would definitely upgrade my cars right away.
Yeah.
Except I would keep the Mazda and make Mia drive it because, you know, kids should drive older vehicles.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, she'd be like, Daddy, you need to buy me a Mustang. That's it. Nope.
Would you?
Yeah. Would I what? Buy her a Mustang?
Would,
no.
Would you say no?
Yeah. I would say no, yeah.
So you would, so to, back to the original point of the question, you would take the $2 billion. Well.
Yeah. Did you bring it with you or?
I did not.
I'm getting very excited here.
See, now we're going to come back to the original question. Would you say you love money?
Yes. I don't know. Sure.
I don't, because I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm wrestling with that myself.
So here's what I truly think.
Okay.
I think that I do a good job with money for a lot of reasons. I think that, and I don't know that I need to go into why right now, but I think generosity is part of it.
Yeah.
I think, integrity in business situations is part of it, or there's been times where, I guess it's kind of like Frisbee, right?
Okay. How
in
so?
In Frisbee, there's no referee. So a foul happens when somebody just calls a foul. So either the receiver of the foul or the giver of the foul.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it comes down to a judgment call, right?
Sure.
And you can be generous towards that call or you can be cantankerous. Like if you're on the receiving end of the foul call, like, you know, that was a foul. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, you slapped out of my hand, you know, you slapped my hand in the middle. Mm-hmm. No, I got all Frisbee or whatever. You can be that way. Or you can go, all right, back off. Let's go, guys. You know, you get back on the field and play.
Sure. Because
you got called for a foul. And I think business, you know, this is quite the analogy, but business can be like that, where there's arguments over, haggling over contracts and stuff like that. And you can be like, We're gonna litigate about this, or you can say, you know what, you're haggling over this, and it's not worth it.
Sure.
It's not worth a reputation swap. It's not worth, you know, whatever. And so that's part of it too. Is like I've definitely encountered situations like that in the past in various ways where it's just like, you know what, to gain the money through this is not worth the trade of these other things, whatever that is.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also a good indication that I could do okay. But again, I have no idea. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to pretend I would do great, and but I like to think I would. And I think everyone thinks that, though.
And I would say, just based on our relationship, I agree that you are very generous.
So did you bring it?
I do not have it. I do not have it. And like you say, don't even go out to that point of making it sound like I have that kind of funding, because I don't want the issues that go along with it. Because it's interesting when we think about, you know, the research that is done on Powerball and lottery and things. It's like people that end up with that chunk of money really don't seem to end up any better off. That's the...
Yep.
And I think even the illusion of the precious, if you will, you know, I think that's kind of what we wrestle with in that dynamic of, well, I'll be able to do it better than them. You follow me?
And I
think, you know, you alluded to scripture even, you know, or you brought up scripture as far as, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, money itself isn't an evil thing, but it's that love of it. And I think, you know, that's where it can be a subtle thing. And, you know, how do we wrestle with our personal love, if you will, in a way that establishes contentment? And it was interesting because, part of where I was coming from, there's a sociologists have found that there is a optimum income level for good parenting. Because as we think about parenting, you know, kids cost money. The reality of it is, you know, if you don't have enough money, okay, parenting is difficult. But there was this upside down U basically that basically said at $75,000, you know, it's sufficient. And yet after $75,000.
This is pre-inflation or post-inflation? Probably pre, right? You're probably citing something.
Pre, yes, definitely. But in that process, $75,000, okay, after $75,000, parenting became more difficult. And I was thinking, you know, there's all kinds of phrases, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations, or, you know, good men make, strong men make good times, you know. Does that make sense?
I don't know either of those phrases. Oh, I would like you to explain them. Okay. They sound interesting.
Shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations basically is this process where an individual will work hard, you know, and they may make it, but likely in that process of passing it on to their children, their great three generations. So their grandchildren may be back to shirt sleeves again, where they have to work for it because the generations ahead didn't necessarily pass it on well. They didn't, in other words, the first generation that worked hard, the second generation didn't get that work ethic. And it was,
they didn't pass it on.
Yes.
And the third generation. Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't get
the shirt sleeves part of that.
Well, roll up your shirt sleeves, you have to work, you know. That kind of thing that they invested, in other words, and we think about it in the aspects of immigrants. Who came to America, they worked hard and yet, you know, and they scrimped and they saved and they, you know, had this ethic that allowed them to, if we may say, you know, accomplish the American dream.
Yeah.
But then that dream wasn't necessarily lifelong, you know, or, you know, generation, was that same dynamic wasn't passed on. It's kind of like that saying that says, I got to think about it here for a moment. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Yeah. Good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times.
Yeah.
You follow me? It's that.
Yeah. And I never heard that either.
Never.
I like that.
Yeah. It's just, and it's one of those things that and the reason I'm thinking of it is it's one of those things that I'm thinking about now. You know, as far as how I've taught our children, or we, I should say, but in
the... And me.
Me and Chris have, you know, to the degree that we grew up, what money meant to us, or, you know, because if we were to have $100 bill on the table, we'd all look at that differently. You follow me? It would have a different, that $100 bill would have a different meaning to us. And that comes down to our money languages to a certain degree. We all have different money languages. But at the same time, we would look at that differently. And I'm thinking about, okay, what have in my love of money, I'll go there with you because I think it is difficult. Because for me, I wrestle with having a love of money, okay? Because I recognize that there is a difference in my demeanor. There is a difference in my mood when I get cut a check at the end of the week and it goes into my account. I'd admit, for me personally, there is a shift. You follow me? And that I don't necessarily like that. But it's, I'm also willing to recognize it is a thing. And it's like, okay, how am I being counter to, or how is that thing affecting my children?
It's interesting.
Okay.
Because for years, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. We kind of got into this idea that money is evil. And now for years, since those years, we've been saying, now remember, it's not money that's evil. It's the love of money. And so we kind of balanced that theology a little bit. I feel like generationally, it's kind of gone that way for me. But I've never thought about this. But even with what you're saying, it doesn't even say the love of money is evil.
No.
Right?
No, it's the love of money is the root.
Right. So, you know, the fact that you're, you know, it's the flesh, right? But I guess, maybe partly, that loves money or whatever. That's not necessarily evil. It really comes down to how you deal with that. So it's like another way to put it is temptation is also not evil. To be tempted. Because temptation is external, you know? And so when you're tempted by money, by sex, by drugs, whatever it is, right? That part's not the evil part. It's how we respond to it. It's, you know. Yeah, that kind of thing. So I do think, just thinking about, like, do you love money? I think it's probably natural to say that most people who have flesh and needs and are not already, you know, drowning in money, love it because of what it can bring to their life. The challenge there, of course, is to balance it with recognizing, no, actually, it's not this pile of green on the desk that's doing that for me. It is the provision of my Father above who brought this pile of green to my desk. You know what I mean? And being able to keep that in balance and being able to keep that in perspective. That's the hard part and important part. And that's, I think that's the part where, like that's the part that requires practice. You know, now when you have, don't have $2 billion, you know?
And I think that's the part, I think it's important to recognize that as a root, something that can grow. You know what I'm saying? To where I'm mindful of, okay, this is money, but I'm not going to let it gain, you know, grow rootedness in such a way that I become.
Or maybe there are roots and sometimes you can pull them up. Sometimes you can.
But I think, and I think that's where the family dynamics come into play. Because some of those roots get passed on through the family tree. And some of those roots might need to be. Because they're counter to. And the verse you, you know, referenced, the one prior to that, godliness with contentment, you know, this prospect of contentment. And that's the part where I think, you know, that helps us trim those roots or cut off those roots that might take us in an evil direction. Because I'm hearing what you're saying, you know, money is amoral. But yet we can and I think there is. Most, I would say most people in our generation or probably even most of our listeners, we're not going to say anything new about money. But I would recognize, or I do challenge JP, you know, the guy listening. He would,
Pakluda?
Yeah.
I just like saying that name.
That's fine.
Pakluda.
Yes. JP, that's a fun
name. Pakluda? That JP?
Yes. Harris Street Church. He was honestly talking about it in the sense of it's not that we wouldn't It's not that we can hear anything new. It's the fact that we believe what it says is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You follow
me? Good, yeah. And presenting the same truth in different contexts can open new insights.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
One thing that I, in terms of money, that I feel like is a conversation I haven't heard much of.
Bring it on.
That I think would be a good question. Maybe something new. Maybe not. Maybe you've had, you know, in your context as a listener, you've discussed this a lot. But, like, why don't we talk more to our kids about the money we spend and how, you know, budget, you know, like the exact figures? Like, we're very protective. And by we, I know we are, and I assume you are. And I think that's kind of a normal parenting route to take is basically, how much did that cost? None of your business. You know what I mean? That kind of idea.
How much do you make?
Yeah. None of your business, right? Yeah. Yeah. And of course, so some of it's the obvious why, you know, it's like, how much do you make? It's like, I don't want you to go to school and have a pissing contest with your friends about whose dad makes more money. Like, that's the first obvious thing. And I think, of course, children don't have the maturity. So I feel like I'm even answering my question to some degree. But I think there's some value in maybe, well, here's the problem that I see.
Yeah.
Because we don't talk about it adequately and we don't talk about what numbers mean something, right? Like, and if you make this much, it means you can do this. And if you, you know, if something costs this much, it means you probably have to make a trade-off and not do this other thing. Because we don't talk about those figures and stuff or even the concepts much because it's all none of your business, they don't have those tools.
Sure. And you know? I would, not that we're going back to the sex topic, but I would say it's very similar.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah.
Having a
conversation. Yeah, but that one's way more awkward. That one's easy to explain. It's like, no one wants to talk to their kids about sex. Like, no, but, actually, money is kind of that way.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Because, and I would dare say, you know, sex and money are similar in the context that they can provide things that God desires to provide.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking to money for happiness versus contentment, you know, sex for happiness, that kind of thing, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So I believe, like you're saying, that we have to have these age-appropriate conversations all along about money, finance, you know, finances, sex, that kind of thing in an age-appropriate manner that help our children understand God's design for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that this is man's thing. Granted, finances, yes, you know, we can argue the point or whatever. But, you know, the reality of it is God talks about money a lot in Scripture. And, you know, and Jesus refers to it a lot. You know, the whole camel dynamic, you know, it's difficult for a person to, you know, enter the gates of heaven, you know, until they kind of unload this pack, you know, that kind of script. And so there's a lot of it. And I think, you know, even talents and, you know, how he used that. But I think it is important to be able to talk with our kids and say, yeah, this is what we do. This is what your mom and I do, you know? And I think it's even important to be able to say later on, you know, okay, yeah, this is about how much we make. And this is, you know, where we allot, you know, certain percentages, and we don't go over that percentage towards buying a house or, you know, a car, you know, we try to say, you know, and I think those things can be, you know, and being able to really talk about credit in a healthy way. Because it's not that, you know, I personally have an issue with credit cards, that kind of, but I think, you know, for us, it's about being able to pay it off every month and still, you know, build a sort of credit. And not that that necessarily does it. We found out that doesn't necessarily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In certain circumstances, you know, if you're paying it off, it's not like you're building a credit score. It helps, but you know, if
they also want to see,
they want to see your ability to pay for something,
pay off something
over long term too. Yeah. So yeah, that was an interesting dynamic
All right, listener. Dave Ramsey's like, you shouldn't care about credit.
and here's the thing. I think, you know, I believe strongly in what Dave Ramsey's has done, yeah. his ministry, and how he educates people on yeah. finances. And yet I've also seen how his teaching can lead couples in such a way to be so focused on finances that mm-hmm. they lose their ability to build relationship and have fun. I'm not saying it's Dave Ramsey's fault. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But like yeah. anything, I think we can take it too far yeah. in one direction, and it's about being debt free, and that's yeah. all we do. So we don't go on vacation yeah. anymore, or, you know, have yeah. weekends away.
You don't have people over because you have to feed them. And,
yeah, yeah, at the yeah. at the cost. So we lose yeah. relationship yeah. at the cost of...
Yeah, I've seen that for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, and I yeah. think that's where I'm coming from, is this ability to say, okay, how can I recognize what influences are in my life regarding money and still be generous, still build contentment, you know, and still have a... create, if you will, a legacy that says, okay, yeah, what I accumulate, okay, my children will know well what to do with that. What is the, there's a proverb that talks about the wise being able to pass, have in, to their children's children.
Yeah, the children's children, yeah.
But it,
yeah.
I'm not asking yeah. you to quote it for me.
I don't think it was specific to money though, but yeah, right?
I don't know. I guess it wouldn't have to be money, but an inheritance, I might tend to think of that. Could be land, could be
yeah, you'll have to look
resources. Yeah.
We
may have to come back to that. Yeah.
And just, yeah, I think you're saying the same thing, but like, if you want to listen to some good advice, you know, definitely check out Dave Ramsey's podcast.
Sure.
Where he talks about this every day, all day, and yeah, you're going to get some really good advice. And his system, whatever, it's not perfect. There's no perfect system for every single person. And so there are going to be some personalities that maybe it brings out the worst in them or whatever. But sure. generally, if you were to ask him about this scenario, he would say, well, no, of course I don't mean abandoned community.
Sure.
But I also mean get out of debt. So exactly. if that means for 1 year, you're a little bit light on the community side because you recognize yep. your tendency to spend too much in those environments or whatever.
Right.
Then that might be the trade-off you have to make. That's a personal call that you have to make. You know what sure. I mean? I think he would be very balanced in that perspective.
No
would
doubt.
Would be my guess. But yeah, the thing about the kids, it's interesting because... I mean, I think I appreciate you bringing out the phrase age appropriate, because I do think that's kind of a key there. You know, what that age is, I'm not sure. I do think, you know, Mia is my oldest. She's sure. 15. And so, you know, she's had some jobs and different things sure. like that. So I think, you know, there's probably somewhere around this time where it's good to start talking about this. Don't get me wrong. We've talked to her about money
yeah, yeah.
saving and all that kind of stuff.
What's she saving for?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you saving for?
A vehicle. Unless cool. I win that lottery.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Also, we tend to save for a vehicle, but really we're just saving for our kids' dentist visits.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. We save so that we can have funds for those things that come
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
And then it kind of sets back our goal for the thing we're saving for. But at the same yeah. time, we have it.
At the same time, you're living in peace because yes. you have the funds to take care of what you need to take care of. But yeah.
And it's interesting to think about it from that aspect, too, because I just recognize, I guess the older I get, the more I recognize that peace is available no matter how much money yes. we bring in, you know, to a certain yeah. degree. I realize, you know, being completely broke is not fun. Don't get me wrong yeah. there. And yet, because it's interesting, and where I'm coming from is, you know, the way I do my counseling, you know, I'm on a sliding scale.
Yeah.
So I don't have a flat fee, in other words, that basically makes it cost prohibitive for people with a lesser income to see me. And it's interesting because that provides quite a variety in Brunswick County of clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I definitely have people who, you know, pay me the least yeah. amount. And yet I have people that break my scale.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's like, well, we're well above your scale. It's like, well, you know, I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I recognize that, you know, on that lower end, you know, I talk with people and they're just come in and they're, you know, contented and they're able to say, you know what, this came to me. I forgot I had, you know, this check, or this check came, you know, and it's just interesting yeah. for me to be able to see,
yeah.
you know, God's faithfulness to people across the board.
Yeah.
And that's how I see it, that it is about, you know, his faithfulness, regardless of the level of income that I have in so many ways.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen discontent in all varieties, right?
Oh, sure.
And same.
With same. Contentment. Yeah. Yeah. There are people who do wealth amazingly yeah. well. Yeah. And I think, you know, that is part of their blessing, if yeah. you will, because God says, yeah, you're faithful with the little things, like yeah. you were saying, you know, I'm going to be willing to yeah. give you more because I know what you're going to do with it.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's a big part of this money talk, especially in terms of, you know, God, and is essentially praying those prayers that say, don't give me more than I can handle. And that goes for all temptations.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And just a desire for him to grant us what we can accept, but no more.
Yeah.
And I've definitely prayed that prayer several times in my life, journal at different things about, don't give me more, and specifically money, than I can do right. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm still poor, you know? I'm not poor. I'm just kidding. But that's a big part of it is, I think, I'm okay with this being the most I make or less, right? If that's what it's going to take to be the healthiest version of myself. And by healthy, I mean spiritually healthy. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, you can go to, you hear so many stories of missionaries, right? Going to these poor tribes in Africa. Well, they don't know they're poor. They don't, you know, they're content. They're happy. Their sure. life is a fulfilled existence, and they're not sitting there wondering when the next, you know, check's coming in. They're not, you know, I don't know. It's just a different world.
Yeah.
And there are some who are truly poor, poorest of the poor, you know, in these different missionary communities that just aren't worried about it.
Yeah.
You know, and which is kind of what you're saying, even with the Brunswick County, you know, dichotomy. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much value in being able to be content despite what the ledger says. But it sure isn't easy. It yeah. requires a lot of intentional work.
No doubt.
You know, mentally to do that. And if you don't think about it ever, there's a good chance, like, you know, that, yeah, I don't know. I think if you don't think about it ever, then there's a tendency your flesh will just do what it's going to do, and you'll end up loving money too much, and it'll become a root of all, you know, root of evil, and you'll have some roots growing up or whatever. I do think you have to manicure it. I do think you have to pluck the weeds when they're coming up, recognize that those roots are there and they need to be groomed. Is that fair enough?
Yeah. No, but I think there is something to be, when you were talking about it from, you know, the past, that kind of thing, I was thinking about that, or the missionary dynamic, I was thinking about it from that childlikeness. And I think about it in that context of, you know, early on growing up, you know, I recognize for me, we weren't wealthy by any means. And yet I didn't know any different. You know what I mean? Because we were all kind of the same in our neighborhood, that kind of, you know, working class type dynamic. And I was thinking about it in that context. And I, you know, I was thinking about it even from the missionary. It's that comparison that I eventually find, you know,
yeah,
that seems to make it difficult. And I think even as adults, you know, or especially as adults, that's when we start wrestling with it,
mm-hmm.
because we see someone mm-hmm. who has something, you know, and I'm thinking about it in that context. It can very much be that comparison. And we kind of go back to that Adam perspective that says, did God really say that you can't, you know, the root of all money, the root of all evil is money?
Hmm.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
How that's not, that can't be true. You know, is that apple not good for me? Oh, come on now. It looks so appealing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes that comparison that it's almost like, oh, well, God, are you holding out on me in some way?
Right.
And to be able to recognize and come back and say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You're not holding out on me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have. And, you know, whether I do have or don't have, you know, there's still a relationship that isn't going to change there.
Right. Right, and yeah, and it's not conditional on the amount of money you have or don't have, and
yeah.
His provision is not conditional on the amount of money you have or don't have, and some, like you said, there are, I think, a lot more stories of gratitude for God's faithfulness when there is a lack of funds than when there isn't, right? Because it's like you know, earlier mentioned, like, a check just showed up, and here I am, you know, like, yes. I can afford to pay for counseling, because for some reason this came through, and... Yeah. You know, and like, I think there's a recognition of those blessings. I also think those blessings come to people who have money. It's just you don't process it the same way, the same level of gratitude, you know?
Sure.
Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And I believe that even rich people get checks they didn't realize were going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But they're probably not, you know, talking to their counselor about, that's why I'm here, because this came through. You know, it's a different world. Harder to appreciate those little blessings. And I think that also takes work to... Be like, you know what? That is cool. I didn't necessarily need that, but it's still a cool little, you know, provision from God. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think what you're referring to in some ways is dependence. You know, and I'm not saying that wealthy people don't have a dependence mindset or can't have, but I think it would be more difficult, you know, because...
Yeah. On God specifically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where it comes back to is... Depending on our perception, money can, on this earth, replace God oftentimes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's...
Which is, again, to quote the scripture that you said earlier, which you didn't quite say it all, so, but it's easier for a rich man to pass through an eye of a needle than a... easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it to heaven, is essentially...
Yes.
Summary of that verse, which is exactly your point. It's, you know, the money becomes your God, and your faith is no longer in God, but in money. And, you know, faith is the currency of, you know, salvation, right? And so if you can never get to that place of faith in a provider because you're already provided for, then, you know, it's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know, camel going through an eye of a needle. Because it's a God replacement, like you said, it provides so many of the things, because it can provide almost anything, just like God can.
Yes.
Right?
It's on earth.
Right. In one could argue...
One could argue you could even buy your salvation depending on your religious affiliation.
That's true.
But that's...
Yeah, that's a good point, and I do think that becomes a reality, depending on, again, your religious affiliation, where it's like, well... I know I don't live right, but I'm gonna take care of that.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
throw some.
Exactly. Financially, I'm gonna take care of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And and I think that happens not just in certain religious affiliations. I think that happens in almost every religious affiliation if your theology is at whack, askew. Sure. You know, I think whether it's taught askew or you just heard it askew.
Sure.
I think there are people that do that.
Yeah.
Try and buy their salvation, and but yeah, and of course, you know, there's so many anecdotes and stories, and you know that the versions of life that you buy versus earn are not quite the same, you know. So if you buy love, right, you buy sex, you buy you know, fulfillment, or, you mm-hmm. know, you buy something that makes you feel like you have, you're a big man, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. all those things, they end up short.
Yeah.
Right? If that's the goal. Agreed. And so then, yeah. Yeah. Like, you buy a big truck to prove to everyone you're a big man, and yet you're still a turd. You know, it's like you're still a little man in a big truck honking at people in front of you like I own the road. It's like, you're not a big man. You're a little man for doing that, you know, and you're just proving it. You're displaying it on full display. You know what I mean?
I hear where you're coming from. Yes, so, in that process.
And I feel like that's a digression.
Well, I was thinking about that, if I may.
You may.
What?
I apologize if you have a big truck. I want a big truck. I'm actually just jealous. So.
What have you learned that has helped you prune your roots
yeah,
of evil, I guess, is with Megan on your own?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I'll say, this is a common answer with your questions like this, is something that took decades to learn. So good luck if you're starting on this journey. You got a ways to go. Maybe you're faster than me. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it's decades of testing what the Bible says about money. Because the Bible even says, test me in this. See if I don't, you know. I'm going to butcher it. But basically,
you can he's
talking about being generous towards God and tithing and,
sure.
and that kind of idea and saying, test me in this and see if I don't blow your socks off, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Malachi 3, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Justin version, I think.
Yeah.
Blow your socks up. But yeah, the whole point is, so tithing has always been part of my nature because I grew up in church, in a church that specifically talked about that, was very, you know, adamant about that. I think most churches are because the Bible teaches it. Although one could argue about the specific word of tithe and the specific percentage amount because Old Testament was 10%. And that was called tithe. And sometimes we extrapolate that to be the giving that he's talking about in the New Testament. But he doesn't really say that.
Sure.
Right?
And the storehouse. What is the storehouse?
Yeah.
That can...
Yeah, it's good. So I've been tithing since I can... Since I made any money, I've been tithing. Sure. And I was taught to, and I enjoyed it. I'm like, look at me. I'm so smart and righteous that I'm putting my money in the you know, plate as it goes by. So that's been easy, and it's never been a struggle. And I hear people who struggle with it, and I'm like, I can't relate, but I also have empathy. I can understand. It's like, if someone gave you a $100 bill and then said, now I need to trade that in and give you a 50 and you know, 220s, and yeah, that's 90, right? It's like, that doesn't quite have the same feel as a nice, crisp $100 bill. And you're like, but that was my $10, you know? I don't know. When I say 110, it doesn't sound like that big a deal. But
no, I gotcha.
Maybe $10 and what? No, it's still. But anyway, 10%, you know, is a big deal. It is. Doing that for decades and seeing that we're fine, we've done it through the worst and the best times. There was 2 years I didn't have a job. At all. I shouldn't say I didn't have a job. I did odds and end painting jobs.
Sure.
I wasn't employed by a specific employer. I kind of did some freelance stuff, but nothing was steady. It was kind of just scraps, right? And during that time, we still managed to tithe, and we still managed to slowly chink away at our debt. Slowly. I mean, it was much more slowly. And I just look at those times, and those are kind of like pillar points in my life or watermark moments where I can go, if that, then this is fine. You know what I mean? I can say, if he got us through that, and I never question the tithing aspect. I think one area that becomes more struggling is he talks about tithes and offerings, kind of, or, you know, it talks about the idea of there's kind of your obligation, then there's the above and beyond. And so, you know, trying to figure out what that means and how to deal with that. Like, I think there's been times in our life we've done good with that. We've done things, right? And other times where it's like, I don't think I quite want to do that. And it feels very much, very difficult. And again, the times where we've done it and the times where we haven't, we're blessed more when we do it than when we don't. And so much of living after the word of God isn't about the immediate payoff, right?
Sure.
And so recognizing that right now it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to be generous and, you know, give to this thing or this whatever, this person, whatever the need mm-hmm. is. And we probably, you know, we could use that money for my truck. But, mm-hmm. but you know what? This is more important in recognizing that the immediate payoff is, well, it's going to take longer to get my truck. Sure. And, you know, and that's because we're blessed. Like, mm-hmm. you know, 10 years ago, it would have been, you know, we might not be able to feed our children. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like the how it impacts you is different. But the facts are sometimes the immediate payoff is not mm-hmm. blessings, is not whatever. But I can tell you that years of doing it produces a blessed life because sure. it's promised. Mm. And he doesn't go against his promises. And you might look at one scenario, one thing in your life where you say, I did that and then this happened. So it's not about, you know, if this, then that.
Right.
It's about reaping and sowing in the grand scheme of your life. And sometimes sure. the reaping, what you reap, is not a financial benefit. Mm. What you might reap is the ability to be generous.
Sure.
Which is its own reaping. It's its own blessing, is to be able to say, you know what, this is not my money, it's his, and I don't mind giving it over here instead of here. That's a blessing in sure. and of itself. Right. So if you get nothing else out of the deal, you still get a pretty good deal in sure. that you're not tied to this thing. Yeah. And it's now you're a slave to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you love it so much and it provides everything in your life.
Yeah.
That was a long answer. I don't sure. even know if it was an answer. I don't know. What'd you ask again?
I was asking how you trim your roots.
Yeah. Trim your roots.
But tithing is a way. Tithing
is a good one.
We'll boil it down to that. Yes.
I think another way for me has been those situations that I was kind of alluding at where I feel like I deserve a certain thing, but I set my feelings of deserving aside and say, you know what, it's not worth it. Mm. That's one way that's helped me
sure.
chop those roots out, you know, and say, you know what, this person owes me. This person owes me. I worked for those, you know, this hours. They owe me this many dollars and going, you know what? Mm. I could hunt them down. I could keep bugging them. It's not worth it to me to do that because I know the situation and I know that either A, they're misers and you know, whatever, and like whatever, or there's a genuine financial struggle on the other side. And it's like, you know what? It's not worth tearing them down to build me up.
Sure.
And so that's been helpful for me, honestly. There's been several scenarios like that throughout my life where. And I don't want to say like, I think there's parts of my personality that drives that where I care about approval, I care whatever. So I don't want to make it sound like it's some virtuous, all virtuous, but that the result of it is, you know what, money's not all that. Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's a good outcome in my life. And it does help chop some of those roots. So that's another thing is... And there's always opportunities for generosity to an enemy, right?
Like, sure.
Because that's kind of...
No doubt. I was thinking about it even in the context as you were, you know, I was hearing you say the I part, you know, and I'm for me personally, I'm thinking about how much Chris's influence has helped me trim my roots, you know, in that process of a spouse. Because I think early on in relationship, we bring these separate money ideas together, you know, in marriage. And, you know, we know how, you know, difficult I can be, you know, when it's not, when it's opposed to we, I want this, I want that, you know, versus, oh, what do we want to achieve? And what do, you know, and I was thinking about it. I don't necessarily, well, I alluded to it earlier. There's studies that show there's like four different money languages, you know, amiable money is love, analytic money can kind of be control because, you know, I think about finances and I have my spreadsheet, that kind of thing. Driver is another one. And it's about, you know, looking at what I've provided my family and there's a sense of accomplishment there, you know, and I'm forgetting the other one off the top of my head, but it was a research, but being able to recognize that my view of money is better when I include Chris's.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
balance.
Yeah, it's a balance. It's a wholeness of God's viewpoint.
Mm.
And I'm able to see money more clearly, you know, when I accept influence from others, because I can get caught up in the my, me, I, versus the okay, what am I learning in the we moments that basically say, okay, yeah, I'm not, I don't know at all where finances are concerned. And I think about how early on Chris and I definitely money was one of the most difficult topics we had just because of the way I view money and the way she views money. Mm-hmm. And as we've come to the ability to value one another's opinions or one another's languages, perspectives, if you will, I think we are better off.
Yeah. That's good.
And I think, you know, she helps me trim my roots and I help her trim her roots in ways that I couldn't do by myself, or I don't see myself as being able to do alone.
That's good. Yeah, and that's important if if you are, you know, struggling with money issues in marriage. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because you haven't been willing to let those roots be cut back a little bit.
Sure.
You know, and haven't recognized that that's a thing, or maybe there's opportunities there for you to bring balance to your relationship.
And I would even along the lines of what you're saying too, I think it's not that everybody has to know their language. I'm not promoting that. But at the same time, you know, two people with the same kind of language are going to have a more difficult time with finances because of the lack of that balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if two people, you know, are amicable in their money language, they're likely going to have a lot of friends because they're spending their money, you know, towards friends, but they're going to be broke.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And I think
credit card debt, that kind of thing.
Yeah. To be able to have that balance is a good thing and to appreciate it.
If you're single and you don't have that opportunity, that's okay too. You can still get balance.
Yes. By still, influence of other people and, you know, and having those age appropriate conversations that say, hey, I'm 20 something, I'm 30 something, and I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to build a house. I want to, you know, it's like talking with people.
There's a lot of really good rich people around you, you know, probably in your church, probably whatever, that would be like, I would love to sit down with you and talk about how to set your life up, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, do that.
So that's where I'm at. Thanks for letting me spring this one on you, Justin.
Yeah, it was good. It's not quite what I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to solicit some listener funds, but, you know.
I think you did.
I said send a check, but they don't know where to send a check, so.
Oh, wow.
And then you said Venmo, but they also don't know where to Venmo, so.
Well, I don't even think we have a Venmo account, do we?
We don't.
Oh, well, see, that's why.
And there's no address, so.
Well, there you go.
You're just going to have to, you know, wait till we do have a Venmo.
If you see Justin, feel free. He'll take donations. Donations. That's right.
What I need to do is put a wish list on the website, podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, and then people get to contribute towards that. That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Do we do that? Is that an ad? I don't know.
It sounded kind of like an ad. Does, but I let you take care of advertising. Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we see it.
Just so that this sounds better. That's all.
Is that all?
That's how we hear it.
That's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.